Good morning. It is so good to see all of you today on the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, and we are glad that you're here and worshiping with us today. And a little bit later on, we will be continuing our series dealing with our fears and anxieties and worries and all of those things. And we're going to deal with a subject that can be very relevant for people. Do you fear failure? And so we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship this morning. Rejoice, God is with us. God leads us into worship to strengthen our spirits. God invites us to worship as beloved people. Well, let's join together there, and as we turn to our first hymn, hymn number 43, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, Praise Him, Praise Him. Praise Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, sing, O word, His wonderful law proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. Excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Let's join together for our opening prayer in the bulletin this morning. Lord of joy and mercy, be with us this day as we seek your voice and your guidance. Remove the obstacles that block our commitment and help us to be truly be your disciples. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. And we're going to be turning to 354 next if you'd like to. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint. His eye is on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your hearts be troubled. His tender word I hear, and one step I watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come down, if they would make their way this morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? All right. So I got a question for you this morning, and I hope you'll get what I'm asking you. So have you ever been scared to do something because you didn't think you could do it? What do you think? Has mom or dad, grandma or grandpa asked you to do something and you're like, I don't know if I can do that? In your head, you're thinking, I don't know if I can do that. You got a little scared. Have you ever had that happen? You haven't? Well, that's good. I'm glad you have. How about some of you that are a little older? Yeah. Have you ever felt that way? I think I can remember. I don't remember what age, but I can remember like, oh, I don't know if I want to try this or not. What if I can't do it? And you just, you know what that is? That's what we call fear of failure. We're afraid that we're not going to do it right, or we're not going to do it the way we should. Now, when you're younger, you probably don't think about that quite yet. But as you get a little older, sometimes that's there. But we got to remember that failure, or maybe not being able to do something, guess what? That's just kind of part of life. We'll always face that. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we don't try. So maybe you've had a basketball coach or a baseball coach or somebody like that or a soccer coach say, you can do it. Go ahead and try. You can do it. And you know what? And you get out there and you do it. And guess what? I did it. And you know what? That's a great feeling, isn't it? When the first time you kick that ball or you kick that soccer ball into the goal, it's like, wow, that is so cool. Or the first time with the bat, you hit your softball, hit that softball, man, it felt great. Or maybe the first time you caught that ball. Whatever it may be. And it's so important to realize sometimes we may not do everything perfect, but it's okay. Because you know what? You keep trying, you keep working at it, and you don't give up. And that is a great thing to do. Because God is with us, as we saw last week, Sometimes when we're afraid, we got to remember God's always with us no matter what's happening. And even if we mess up at times, everybody does, adults do all the time, we just don't say it. But you know what? We keep at it. We keep at it. And that's what's most important. All right? Okay. You can head on downstairs this morning. Lots of fun that's going to be going on down there this morning with all that group. As they are heading out, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us before we go to prayer this morning. Somebody. Oh, thank God for that, yes. And thank you for sharing that. You know, it's funny, sometimes when those things happen, you don't think about family members that are down there and in different places. I know I have some cousins in North Carolina, and yeah, and I haven't heard anything, but sometimes they'll post something on Facebook. But thank you for sharing that. Somebody else, yes, unspoken this morning. Anybody else this morning? Yes.
I have two. First, the Barbara Mitchell family. She passed away Friday. And secondly, a couple that come up here to visit. He grew up in the campground. They live in the panhandle. They stayed here a couple extra days. They headed home yesterday. So I hope everything's okay for them when they get home.
Okay. So this family that's traveling, and definitely want to do that. Yes, I don't know. Some of you may know. Does anybody know where Brad and Carla, did they go to Kentucky or Kansas?
They went to Kansas.
Okay, so they went away from everything, which is probably a good thing. Yeah, I was trying to remember exactly which way they went. I know, I thought if they were going to Kentucky, they'd drive right into it. But yeah, so we want to remember all of them. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning?
There's a bunch of them with prayer chains. One of them is Pastor Tina from Fletcher because she's in Costa Rica for the Global Ministry Conference and she is sick. They didn't know it was food poisoning or what. And she had this last week and she had 10 more days to be there. And we want to keep Jim Cabal.
I know, I kind of thought maybe Diana would have been back today because she said she was going to be gone one Sunday. They may have had to hold off. Yeah, okay. Oh, good. That's a nice thing. All right. You did say you were talking about Pastor Tina, weren't you, earlier at the beginning? Okay. That's what I thought. Somebody else. Lots of them there. Yeah. Unspoken. Anybody else this morning? Wow. Usually, we usually go a lot longer. So there's different ones. So we have the Mitchell family and then this family that's traveling that Georgia knows for Tina, Jim Cavalt, Greg, and Diana and Lindsay, and probably with Diane traveling also. And then also Brooke. Brooke is a friend of Steph Davis's co-worker's daughter, who's 16 years old, was in a serious accident. She's in a coma, but it's an induced coma for brain swelling to go down. And so specifically, they were wanting prayers for that brain swelling to go down so that they can then bring her out of it to see once how things are going and everything. Very serious kind of a situation there, and appreciate your prayers for her. I got her in on the monthly, that'll be new in there, and appreciate your prayers for her. Anybody else then before, yeah. Okay, what was the last name again?
Pearson.
Oh, Pearson? Okay, so we want to remember the Pearson family then with that loss of the loved one there. And all right, anybody else then? Yep.
Jason, we'd probably ought to be praying for Dave Shellhouse. He's one of our much buddies, and he fell off his driveway and lay there, and some woman come by and help him get to the hospital. Spent some time in Miami Valley. He's up at Up Valley now, so he's had head problems. So.
I appreciate that, yeah, for sharing that and putting that in. I think I remember Dave, definitely want to remember him in our prayers. Anybody else then? Yes.
Dana Manson is in the emergency room getting released right now. But Kevin said he was up all night with his shoulder and his neck.
Oh, no. She didn't even say anything to me this morning.
She just told me because I wondered where her dad was at.
Yeah, wait till I see her. Okay, definitely want to keep Dana in our prayers then and asking God's touch upon him. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Okay, well, lots of different names there and situations. And definitely want to, with the hurricane and some of the areas that got hit so hard. And I thought I saw something about bad flooding in northeastern North Carolina or something like that. It was really bad. And that's where I have some family. My cousins live there. And definitely want to, but there's other places too. So definitely want to keep all that in our prayers. And so as David plays the little thing there for us. And oh, wait a minute, we've got another one. You almost wonder if it was setting in a valley or something that it'd get that high. Wow. Definitely. Definitely. I can imagine. And all the workers, first responders, and everybody out there in those emergency rooms and all working, it's going to be, yeah. So, as he plays there for us, give you a chance to pray, and then I'll come and close us out. We just want to thank you that no matter what we're facing in life, when we feel overwhelmed, when we hear about the storms and fear tries to grip our hearts and our worries and anxieties arise, God, we know that you are the one, as we talked about last week, you are the one who is with us. and that we can fear not. And Lord, that doesn't mean we're not concerned or overwhelmed at times, but you are with us. And Lord, we especially think about all of those that were mentioned, but especially those that face and are facing right now the impact of that hurricane that came up through Florida, Georgia, and all along that area in the East Coast and up even into our area, with some that here in Miami County that still don't have power back. God, we just ask for your strength and for your help and for hope and for faith in the midst of these situations right now, that they can hear that word that says, fear not, in the midst of the devastation and everything that they are facing right now. And God, I ask for your spirit of peace to come over them right now and to be with them and to watch over them. Thank you for all the first responders and all the other teams that are working, and with FEMA and others, and groups on the ground from the federal to the state and local that are working to free people, to rescue people, to help people. And then, Lord, the long, long journey of rebuilding, God, that your presence will be with them. Lord, we also lift up the others that have been mentioned. For Pastor Tina, Lord, with his sickness, Lord, and possibly food poisoning, we ask for your healing touch there. We pray for Jim, Lord, Cavalt, and who's battling cancer, and so many of the others on our monthly calendar, Lord, that monthly prayer list that we have there, so many of them that are battling cancer and going through treatments, that your healing touch and strength and faith and courage will be with them during this time. And for Greg, God, your continued healing touch upon him. For Brooke, Lord, and this serious accident, Lord, and with this brain swelling, we just ask that as they, it takes time, and as they treat, may that brain swelling go down and there not be any kind of effects that as a result of that, and that you'll come back healed and whole. But Lord, it's going to take a while, and we just ask for your strength for the family and the loved ones there. Lord, we lift up Dave to you, Lord, with this fall, that you would touch him, bring strength to him. For Dana, Lord, with whatever's going on with his shoulder, Lord, we ask for your touch there and your healing grace to be with him and strength. Lord, we lift up the Mitchell family today. We lift up the Pearson family today with the loss of these loved ones, Lord, that you would grant your grace and your comfort and your peace for them. Lord, we lift up Diane and this other family, the Friends of Georgia, that are traveling. And we think of Brad and Carla also, that'll be traveling into this later the coming week, Lord, that you will be with them and keep them safe and watch over them. And we're thankful for that today. And then, Lord, we also lift up all of these unspoken needs today, the few that were mentioned. And maybe there's others, Lord, that maybe people couldn't share today. God, we just ask for your touch. Lord, that you would meet the needs as only you can do, that you would grant your presence in each of those situations. And Lord, I am so thankful for your peace and your presence that is with us here today. We just ask that you would just guide the rest of our service as we break the bread of your word, Lord. May we hear those words again, fear not, and know that you are with us and that you help us no matter what we face, that we don't quit, that we don't give up, but we continue to press on and to persevere and to endure through whatever we face in this life when it comes to fears and anxieties and worries and all of those things. And we are so grateful today for that. And thank you today for your goodness in our lives as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. I know it makes a world of a difference what people's facing in their lives. So, well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord this morning with our giving. And once again, let me just say thank you to you for your faithfulness. And we know that God blesses us in so many ways. And we have that opportunity to give a portion back, to make a difference, not only for the furthering of the work through this local church, but also out into our community and world through our missions and other areas. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. let's join together there for our dedication. All that we have comes from you, O God. Use our lives and the gifts we offer to build a more just and peaceful world that reflects your reign. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. As we continue in our series, we are going to be looking at a passage from the book of Exodus this morning. We're going to be jumping around through various verses and in the book of Exodus, chapters 2 and chapters 3 and chapters 4. And so let's get started there. One day after Moses had become an adult, he went out among his people and he saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. He looked around to make sure no one else was there. Then he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When Moses went out the next day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting each other. Moses said to the one who had started the fight, "Why are you abusing your fellow Hebrew?" He replied, "Who made you a boss or judge over us? Are you planning to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid, for when he realized, "They obviously know what I did." When Pharaoh heard about it, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses ran away from Pharaoh and settled down in the land of Midian. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law, Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses says, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. "So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God says, "I'll be with you. And this will show you that I'm the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will go back here and worship me on this mountain." And then Moses replied, "But what if they don't believe me or pay attention to me? They might say to me, 'The Lord didn't appear to you.'" But Moses said to the Lord, "My Lord, I've never been able to speak well, not yesterday, not the day before, and certainly not now since you've been talking to your servant. I have a slow mouth and a thick tongue." But Moses said, "Please, Lord, send someone else." The Lord said to Moses and Midian, "Go back to Egypt, because everyone there who wanted to kill you has died." So Moses took his wife and his children, put them on a donkey, and sent them back to Egypt, or back to the land of Egypt. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to have to do a little bit better today than last week. Jim told me after church last Sunday, he says, "Boy, you must not have any fear after sharing that joke last week." I know it wasn't the, I still thought it was funny. Here you get in the wheelbarrow. Oh, well. At Sunday school, a teacher asked her children as they were on their way to the church service and began to talk to them. And she said, "And why is it necessary for you to be quiet in church?" And one little bright girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." I could take some photographic evidence, but I'm just kidding. I want to talk to you this morning about the fear of failure. I don't know, you probably was thinking, what in the world is going on in that reading this morning? That's because if you happen to notice, I skipped all of God's answers to Moses' excuses, and I just kept sharing there. When you got to about the third slide, all you kept reading or hearing was Moses' excuses why he couldn't do what God had called him to do. And we're going to talk about that. Listen to this. I found this really fascinating. In a congregational survey, this is a mega church, just to let you know offhand when I read this. In a congregational survey, fear of failure loomed as the number one fear for those under 50. And it tied for fourth among those over 50. Now think about that for a minute. I think that's probably fairly accurate depiction of what is probably goes across all churches and probably throughout the world and America in general. It may fluctuate somewhat. And so my question for you is, do you fear failure? In the past, has the voice in your head said, you might as well just give up now? What did you do? Did you take the risk and keep going? Or did you listen to the voice and stop and turn back while you still could? In our reading today, Moses makes every excuse under the sun after God called him to go back to Egypt for the purpose of speaking to Pharaoh about releasing the children of Israel for slavery. But there's a whole thing that happened beforehand that sets up this whole story that we're going to look at here. And so as we think about the fear of failure this morning, I want to share two things with you to highlight. First of all, life involves risk and failure. It's just, I shared that with the kid. I didn't talk about risk as much, but it was part of the things. And so there's two things I want you to see about Moses' life that we kind of read. And if you want to read further in there and fill in the blanks, so you're more than welcome to read through chapters 2-4 in the book of Exodus. But the one thing that I saw after reading this and what God did by the time you get to the end of chapter 4 is this. Failure isn't the end for becoming the person God calls us to be. A lot of times when we do fail, we think just the opposite. We think, and I've experienced it in my own life. I've had umpteen people in my churches that I pastored that came up and they did not want to do anything in the church. And when I pressed them, it's because of failure in their life. And they were afraid to step out. They think God didn't love them anymore or didn't, whatever terminology, they had a distorted view of what they thought God thought about him. And I want you to notice that God called Moses in spite of his failure and messy life. Moses messed up bad and killed somebody. And if you know the story of Moses, you know that when he was a young adult, he killed an Egyptian taskmaster. In other words, the one that was overseeing the slaves in that area. And he killed him when he saw him beating a slave. And the Hebrew that doesn't always come out in the English language kind of conveys this idea that Moses was sneaky about it. He waited till nobody was around, and then he did it. And eventually, as we saw in the story that we read, when Moses confronted some of the two Hebrews that were fighting each other, they already knew it about it. And then eventually Pharaoh does. And when Moses finds out that Pharaoh knows, he is afraid. He's terrified. And he flees. And he goes to Midian. And he ends up staying at one of his relatives, who is also the priest of Midian. And while there, he ends up eventually then marrying his daughter, Jethro's daughter. But Moses and his wife's relationship is messy. And here's what I want you to see this morning. Failure was not the end for Moses. Because it's after all of that, while Moses is shepherding sheep on the backside of the desert, that he sees this bush burning in a distance. And he notices that it doesn't go out. It just keeps burning. And when he gets over to see what's going on, he ends up realizing that God's presence is there. Moses, Moses. I can just imagine it. Yes, take your shoes off, for you're on holy ground. And he realizes this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, and we didn't read it all, but God says, you're going to go back to Egypt. And you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I can imagine, I'm telling you, I can see it as plain as day in that moment. I bet you as soon as God says, I want you to go back to Egypt and release my people, Moses, I bet you fear started to fill his heart right there. What? No. I can't go back there. That's where I failed. That's where I messed up. How can I go back there? I won't have any credibility. They all know what I did. You see what I'm saying? That's why I focused in the reading on all of his excuses. And as we caught at the very end, in this whole debate going back and forth, this whole conversation, Moses says, God, please, just send somebody else. Just send somebody else. Have you ever said that to God before? Ask somebody else to do it, God. I can't do that. Not only it wasn't the end for Moses, it wasn't the end for Saul of Tarsus, or as we know him, the Apostle Paul. Because when you get to Acts chapter, I think it's about chapter 4, somewhere in there, we're told about how Saul of Tarsus is going around persecuting the Christians. And when Luke tells us about this event that takes place, we find that Saul of Tarsus is in behind it all. And that is the stoning and killing of Stephen for his preaching the gospel. Can you imagine those years later? When Saul of Tarsus is on the road to Damascus and this bright light comes down and knocks him off of his horse or donkey or whatever he's riding. And the voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What? I don't even know who you are. I'm just ad-libbing here a little bit. Give me a break in here. Let me do this for a minute. Dramatize it for a moment. What do you mean? I don't even know who you are. I'm not persecuting you. Who is he persecuting? Jesus' followers. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he goes on to tell him, I'm calling you to go to the Gentiles. You're going to be blind for a while, but you're going to go meet this guy named Cornelius, and he's going to baptize you, and then you're going to be healed, and then you're going to do the work that I called you to do. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It wasn't the end for Paul. Here's a familiar name. It wasn't the end for Michael Jordan. the famous basketball player. Listen to these words that he spoke when he was interviewed once. "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I have been trusted to take the winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeeded." You know the old adage, you're not going to fail if you never try. Sometimes risks involve doing the thing or things we fear the most. That's what happened with Moses. And I think that's what happened with Saul or Paul too. And I've known when God has asked me to do things which I did not want to do. While in Midian, Moses met the priest Jethro and married his daughter. And on that night, God called him. Can you imagine the fear that I just talked about? A fugitive who had fled Egypt after killing an Egyptian taskmaster returns some 40 years later and demands the release of the slaves. Listen, I'm not naive. Failure can be painful. Yet nearly every rewarding thing we'll experience or do in life comes with the chance of failure. So what is all that? What's going to be the response? How do we respond in all of that? Here's the thing I want you to see. It takes courage and faith to endure beyond failure. It takes courage and faith to endure beyond failure. And this series has been entitled Living Courageously. And I've only highlighted that a few times, but we're going to see how it comes out more and more as we go along in our series, because courage takes risks despite fears. Courage takes risks. I'm trying to remember it. It just popped into my mind about where... Oh, I can't remember. It was in a movie, and somebody was afraid to do something, and they were so afraid of doing it that the person thought that they had no courage, and it was something like, courage doesn't mean you don't have fears. Courage means you do something in spite of your fears. And that's where faith then comes in. Faith pushes us forward since we know, as I already shared with you, failure is not the end of the road. Some of the most important successes in life come on the heels of failure. I think this is why the Apostle Paul shared these words with the church at Rome. God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for who are called according to his purpose. Let me share you a story with you about this, and you'll know who I'm talking about, at least most of you will. J.K. Rowling, whose Harry Potter books have sold, listen to this, more than 400 million copies, saw her very first manuscript, The Sorcerer's Stone, rejected by 12 different publishing companies before one finally picked it up and paid her £1,500, which is just a little less than $3,000. Even then, her editor that got her that thing, got her that contract, told her that she was going to need to get a day job because she'll never be able to support herself selling children's books. In her magnificent 2008 Harvard commencement address, she said this: "What I feared most for myself at your age was not poverty, but failure." Those are her words. Guess what? I looked it up. She is worth $1.1 billion today. And if you know any more about her story, she was living in pretty bad poverty there for a while after she went through a divorce. Her story reminds us to never give up in life, for we will always face risks, and we will always face the possibility of failure. And when we fail, we have to have the courage and faith that will see us through, because that's the way God calls people. Amen. Amen. Next week, we're going to continue looking at our various fears that we face in life in this series. Well, take a few moments and greet one another and share the blessing before we close out there with our hymn, Because He Lives. I don't think there's an introduction, or at least I don't think there is. So we may have to go right into the verses. So if you got your hymn books, 260, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing Because He Lives. Let's see where we're at here on this one. Oh, there is an introduction. Good. God sent His Son. They call. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Fear is gone because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride. Because He lives. can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds a future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, although he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go in peace to serve the Lord. May the wonders and opportunities of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, be with us this week. Go in peace. Amen. Down the wrong number.